Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm your host, Paul Marks. We have a great show with a wonderful guest who's extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing talent transformation from employee to partner mindset. Joining me today by phone is longtime multifamily industry veteran and property management consultant, Clara Moyers, the owner of ProVisions Property Management Company in Charleston, South Carolina. Welcome, Clara.
Well, thank you, Paul. It's great to be here this morning.
So this is an intriguing topic because, finding and keeping good employees that will grow into their positions has always been a challenge. Typically in multifamily, it's an industry that is known for a high turnover of employees in different positions. And there's a lot of different positions that are important when operating multifamily properties, from the corporate level all the way into the property itself and maintenance techs and so forth. So this talent transformation from employee mindset to a partner mindset, I think is something that a lot of our listeners are going to be very interested in. Tell us a little bit about just kind of encapsulate your thought on that, and then we're going to go through some of the specifics.
Well, I think overall, we are struggling in our talent pool in multifamily, especially on the maintenance side. And I think one of the things, I've worked for a lot of great companies, but one of the things I've noticed, they either have a really high turnover, and it's because as these companies get bigger, the staffs on site tend to get lost in the shuffle, sort of. And I think we just need to do a better job, especially as, our new normal has changed. We need to do a better job of keeping people engaged. When I hire people, I hire them for where they could go with the company, where I know they can go. I don't hire them to fill that position right now. I'm looking for people that want to grow and that are passionate about what they're doing. And the bottom line is you're only as good as the people that are on the ground doing the work. Everybody's important, but it's the worker bees in the company that are really the backbone. And I think they just need to have some more attention paid to them. They need to feel that they're important, that their contributions matter. And that's one of the things that I am just very, very passionate about. And I think, it shows if you go back and talk to anybody that's ever worked with me. So they're important to me. I don't have a job if they're not trained to do theirs. That's the bottom line.
Exactly. And you kind of outlined for me in our discussions, this topic, and it all starts with recruiting talent. And you have some interesting thoughts on that. The first one I'm just going to read to our listeners, and I'm going to let you kind of take it from there and explain this as well as the other ones that you have. And the first one you have is, hire those who are smarter than you are. Talk about that.
I think sometimes people get afraid or maybe intimidated to hire somebody who's smarter than they are, and you really shouldn't be. They're bringing value to your team. And, not everybody excels in every area. When I interview people, I want to get to know them as a person. I'm not perfect. I never will be. Don't claim to be. But I do have areas that I'm not as strong in. So specifically, if I'm hiring for the corporate office or a senior property manager, that type level, I want to hire somebody who's stronger in areas where I'm weak, because then we complement each other. If everybody is good at the same thing, you've got no variety. You can't spin off each other's ideas. You can't be dynamic and grow with the industry. So I always look to hire people who are smarter than I am. Because, you can always learn something, and I love to learn. I just think that's important, and I think too many people get intimidated by well, she's or he's smarter than I am. Well, so, I mean, it does to me. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You're trying to fulfill a need for your company. This isn't about you. It's about your company. And I think if you hire those people, you're going to find that your company will be more successful than you could ever begin to imagine.
Well, and you're the second item that you think is important when you're recruiting talent is to hire people with a heart for service. And that, I think, is so crucial because in multifamily, what sets apart one property from another is the service, whether it's in the leasing process or when an issue comes up dealing with the management team or a maintenance issue inside of a unit. Service is really, I think, what sets people apart. If you have people that are working that don't have that heart for service, then you're kind of at a disadvantage. Is that true?
I agree with you 100%. And I think a lot of people forget that, you know, that when you think of the service industry, you think of, you know, hotels or restaurants or, you know, Best Buy or whatever. But bottom line is, multifamily, we are a service-oriented business. We are here to provide a service, whether it's to the property owners or the residents or the vendors. We are service providers. And I can train anything, but you can't train heart. That's something you can't train. So you've got to be service-oriented to be in this industry. And I'm a firm believer in that, and that's what I look for. Because, I mean, I can train anything. But
well,
I can't train heart.
Well, and then you also say to hire people, this kind of goes along with it, hire people that are driven. And that's part of it, too,
Most, people in property management we are all very competitive. We are all typically type A personalities. You give us a goal, we're going to get down to it, and we're going to get it done. And, you know, I just talk to people. I find out what excites them. I need to see that they're driven to succeed. If they're just doing this because it's a job, then maybe this is not the industry for you because you do have goals and things that you have to get done every day. This is a very highly driven, motivated, achievement-oriented industry, and you've got to have the background and the experience and just the drive to go do that. And I look for that when I interview people. And you can typically pick up on that when you're talking to somebody, just having a conversation with them.
Well, I'm going to combine a couple of these because I want to get to one that I think is very important, but these are all something that our listeners need to hear. Hire people who aren't afraid to make mistakes, hire people who can think on their feet, and hire people who aren't afraid to make decisions. Talk about those.
I have one interview question that I ask assistant managers, property managers, and, you know, anybody at the corporate office. And I learned this lesson. Unfortunately, I learned it the hard way. But it's a question I ask. I need to know that you don't need me to hold your hand every day. I'm not a micromanager. So one of the interviews, if you were interviewing with me, I would say, you know, Paul, you've got a property. You're 50% occupied. You've got, you know, people have come in with Section 8 vouchers, and Section 8 is willing to pay $10 less on those units than what your market rent is. What are you going to do? And what I want to hear is, it's $10. It's $120 a year I'm losing. That's better than the $500 that I'm, you know, going to be getting. It's, you know, I got to get those units occupied, so I'm going to go ahead and take it. That's what I want to hear. But so often what I hear is, well, I'm going to wait and ask. Well, so then my follow-up question will be, Paul, what if you can't reach me? Or what if you can't reach your regional manager? Well, then I'm not going to do anything. Well, 8 units at $500, $4,000 a month, you just lost. So I'd rather have them make that decision, think on their feet, and then say, you know, hey, I messed up. This is what I did, and I'm going to say, hey, I agree with you. It's $120 versus $4,000. I don't care. Just do it. So that's what I mean when people need to not be afraid to make decisions, and they need to think on their feet. They need to think like an owner, and that's what I want. I want people who can think. I don't need to think for them.
You've also got on here, hire people who are passionate about what they do in both their professional and personal lives. Why is that important?
Well, because if you're not passionate, you're not going to give it your all. I'm very passionate about what I do. I somebody gives me a property to clean up. I hate to use this word, but it's the best description. I'm a dog with a bone. Until I get that done, I don't stop. And I need that same kind of passion about serving people and, you know, doing the job that needs to be done on the site level. If you don't, things tend to stagnate. Things don't get done, and they lose interest, and then they just kind of, it's just a job to them. So I need people who are passionate about, really about life in general. I find that they're easier to work with, they're just easier to manage, and they tend to manage themselves. And I ask them what they do in their personal lives. What are you passionate about? What do you just love to do? I just talk to people when I interview, and I tend to get things that I need. But you have to be passionate. This is multifamily is a very high-stress industry. And if you're not passionate about doing it, you're going to burn out quickly. You're not going to be able to get back up.
Okay. We're going to have to end this segment here. I have some more questions about talent recruitment that we're going to get back to in segment number two. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. EconServe has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call EconServe today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's EconServe at 713-662-3220.
COVID-19 has greatly impacted the multifamily industry, emphasizing the need to reduce costs and increase revenue right now. PM Workforce can help you by providing intensely trained, performance-ready, certified leasing professionals. On-demand labor gives you more control over staffing costs. Their proprietary technology allows you to solve staffing problems within 60 minutes, 24/7, 365. Go to pmworkforce.com before making a long-term hiring decision. Try one of their leasing professionals today. PM Workforce, the leasing management company. Consistently excellent.
Well, we are back and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and today we're discussing the topic of talent transformation from employee to a partner mindset. I'm Paul Barks. Joining me today by phone is longtime multifamily industry veteran and property management consultant Clara Moyers, the owner of ProVisions Property Management Company in Charleston, South Carolina. Before we jump back into the conversation, I do want to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Clara, I mean, the great thing about this topic, talent transformation from employee to a partner mindset, is it's timeless from the standpoint of so much today that we think about as multifamily is having to do with the pandemic and the crisis and everybody scrambling to deal with that. But even with the pandemic, these rules that we're talking about consult with your clients about and the way you run your companies that you've been associated with, they all hold true no matter when it is. So I want to jump back into the talent recruitment, because I think there was a couple of very important points that we were able to get to before the break. And one of them is basically tell them who you are. Tell the prospect, the employee, the candidate who you are. What does that mean?
I think they need to understand your company culture. They need to understand what you believe in, what is important to you. Because if they don't have those same beliefs, even if you did hire them, they're not going to last long. And I want to hire people who are in it for the long haul, who want to stay with my company and grow with the company. If the philosophies don't match, it ends badly. I mean, I've taken jobs where you get in and the philosophies just don't match, and it's just not a good fit. And I just think that's important. So that's when I interview, I spend a lot of time letting them know how I think, how I work, you know, what I expect, and what they'll get from me as well. They need to know me as a person, not just as the company leader or whatever you want to call me. It's just, it's got to be a good fit or it doesn't work, and then you end up recruiting again and wasting expenses, and then there's no stability. And you've got to have stability to make things work.
You know, one of the things that really stood out to me in the notes that you sent over to me was, don't hire just to fill a position, hire to fill the future leadership roles within your company. That's strong. Tell us about that.
I think a lot of times, especially if a company has a lot of vacant chairs, whether it be in maintenance or in the properties office or at the corporate level, I mean, if you can't get somebody right away, I think people get desperate because it stretches everybody else so thin trying to cover, you know, two or three properties that don't have managers. And I think they, you know, we tend to just kind of end up just, well, she's perfect, whatever, just hire her, get her in there. We got to have a body in that chair. But those never work. If I look back, because I have done that from time to time, not recently, but when I look back, those people never lasted. And I ended up within probably 60 to 90 days making another replacement. And again, that just, it takes, you know, if you hire a regional, it takes them probably 4 to 6 months to get used to their portfolio. And then they leave, and you've got to do it all over again. So there's no stability. So I think we all need to do a better job of hiring for the right fit and not just to fill a chair, because it doesn't do anybody any good. It hurts the person that wasn't a good fit for it, makes them feel like a failure, you know, gets them very down on themselves, and that's just not why we're here. We need to groom the future leaders of this industry because, you know, like old-timers like me, you know, one day I'd like to retire, but I want to have people in place that I know will carry on the high standards that this industry has. So don't just build it. Don't just build a chair. It's a waste of everybody's time and good talent.
And so the last one you had for talent recruitment, the last point you had, kind of to me is similar to the very first, which was hire those who are smarter than you are, is to hire people who are strong in areas where you might be weak.
You have to complement each other. For example, I'll give you the perfect example. I can talk to anybody, and sometimes I talk too much. I'll be the first to admit it. But I'm not a salesperson. I can close a deal, but I'm not a salesperson. I can't do that cold call. So I have somebody that works with me who can do the cold calls. Just she doesn't care. I mean, that's, she loves to do it. So that's where, you know, she's strong and I'm weak. But we complement each other. She's not a closer. I am. So you've got to have, you know, all the pieces of your pie that you put together when you've got a company. If everybody's really good at doing one thing, who's going to do the rest? Nothing flows. Nothing fits. It's not cohesive. So that's what I mean. When where you're weak, you hire somebody who's got that strength. Then you're more well-rounded, and things just tend to be easier for everybody.
Well, let's jump now into talent engagement, because we were talking about talent recruitment. So now that you have talent, you've got to get them engaged. And you stated that as the leader of a company, it's your job to make sure everyone is engaged. How does that happen?
You have to. If you think about it, look at some of the bigger management companies, and they're all great. You know, there's not – nobody's perfect. you know, we've all got our great things that we do. But if you go down to the site level, how many groundskeepers actually know who the president or owner of that management company is without looking on the internet? I mean, I literally don't think a lot of them do. They may know the name, but they don't know the person. And, you know, when I started a company a couple of years ago, that was the one thing I wanted to make sure was right down to the part-time groundskeepers and housekeepers that I had, I wanted them to know who I was. And I don't have a lot of levels. I don't have a lot of layers. I don't do districts and things like that because I don't want there to be all those levels at the corporate office. So my regionals knew, hey, if your groundskeeper can't get the manager or you, they're going to call me. And, you know, sometimes that bothers people because they feel like people are going behind their back. But that's not it. We have to be approachable. We have to be accessible to our teams. If they have a problem, they need to know that they can call somebody without getting in trouble and know that that person is going to be there to support them in whatever they do. And that was my job. My job, my main job, is to make sure that my staffs are engaged, trained, and know that regardless of what is going on, I am 100% behind them. I care, this sounds horrible, I care more about my staff than I do about my company. Because if they're taken care of, the company will be automatically be taken care of. And that is the one thing I tell people all the time. And just like, what? Well, I do. My staffs are the ones who make the company. The company doesn't make the company. It's the people behind it that do. So I put every effort I have into my staffs, and I make sure that they know I am here.
Well, you know, one of the things about keeping people or getting people to become engaged is you have be creative about your company and your manager meetings. Tell us a little bit about that.
I love managers meetings. One of my business partners used to say that planning a managers meeting was actually my second profession. And, you know, everybody has managers meetings. You know, I don't know what it's going to be like now with the new normal going on, but so often you go to managers meetings, you all sit in a room at a table and it's people talking. And, you know, you look around and people are playing on their phones, they're checking emails, they're doing whatever, they're not paying attention. So I make my manager's meetings a four-day, literally it's a fun retreat, but we do a lot of learning. And I think my favorite one was critical thinking. I noticed that we had a lift station explode at a property, and, of course, the property manager is going to call a plumber and go help. It's an emergency. Well, the first thing that plumber sees is dollar signs, because you've got a lift station in Louisiana that's overflowing everywhere. So I needed to teach them to be critical thinkers. So I came up with these great little invitations that I sent them all. They were like mystery tour invitations to come play on this mystery tour. And every day we did, they had different goodie bags to take home. I actually had my property owners come in and participate, and we had roundtable discussions. I gave each table a list of things, problems they had to solve. And then I always ended our meetings with a secret field trip. The girls and the guys started calling them the blah, blah, blah. And it was a field trip tied into what we had just spent the last 3 days learning about. And for the critical thinking one, they had shirts with Sherlock Holmes pipes, and I got them Sherlock Holmes hats and back, I mean, all this stuff. We went to the escape room, and we had teams, and that was our, they had to use their critical thinking to get out of that room. So it kind of all tied together. And the managers literally fought over themselves. When's the managers meeting? When are we coming? Can we do two? What about three? What if we did one every quarter? But it kept them engaged. And instead of having them, so often I call it the learn and flush. They learn it for right now and then flush it down and don't remember. My managers remembered every little thing that they ever learned. And to this day, they still will call me, even though they don't work with me anymore, and go, let me tell you what happened, and this is what I did, because we learned about that in that manager's meeting in 2018. So it's interactive. It's fun. It keeps them engaged, and they want to learn. They don't get bored. Nobody just sits in a manager's meeting and takes notes. They're very active in it. I've just found that that's a better way for them to learn, retain it, and then apply it when they go back to their properties.
All right. Well, We still have more to cover on engagement. We're going to be back with our third segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
COVID-19 has greatly impacted the multifamily industry, emphasizing the need to reduce costs and increase revenue right now. PM Workforce can help you by providing intensely trained, performance-ready, certified leasing professionals. On-demand labor gives you more control over staffing costs. Their proprietary technology allows you to solve staffing problems within 60 minutes, 24/7, 365. Go to PMWorkforce.com before making a long-term hiring decision. Try one of their leasing professionals today. PM Workforce, the leasing management company. Consistently excellent.
Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
We are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and today we're discussing the topic of talent transformation from an employee to a partner mindset. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me today by phone is longtime multifamily industry veteran and property management consultant Claire Moyers, the owner of Provisions Property Management Company in Charleston, South Carolina. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. Econserve, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. PM Workforce, the leasing management company, consistently excellent. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. WaterLogic, a smarter way to water, providing professional irrigation water management. And CTS, complete technology solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Claire, we were covering a lot of the talent engagement part of our discussion. One of the things that stood out to me is a comment that you made: there's a budget for everything except for your employees. Tell me a little bit about what that means.
I learned that from Jerry Blonder. He was with Focus Management and Focus Development Focus Group out of Atlanta. He was one of the heavy, I call him the Big Six in Atlanta. He was an absolutely amazing man. And he taught me that, you know, budget for everything. And, you know, one time he made me get one of the managers take a garbage disposal out because it was 12 cents more than another garbage disposal. But he said, you always budget for everything except for your employees. You are here for them. And so we did amazing things at Focus with training and managers meetings and, you know, contests and prizes. And because Jerry believed the same thing that I do, that it's the people behind you that are running everything. So you've got to make sure that you have got what they need and you get them what they need to be successful in this. Because if they are, then the company will be. And I miss Jerry very much, very, very much. But he was an amazing man. And I just admire him.
You've also got some comments that I think kind of ring true in this age of COVID and the pandemic, which has to do with transparency. Be honest 100% of the time, even if it's bad news. That's one of the things that I've had other people who joined us on the show comment about, why it's so important during this pandemic is, because everything's up in the air. People don't know what to expect next. You know, you have to be transparent. Let your teams know exactly what you know as soon as you know it. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's important. I don't know any other way to be. I don't spin things to make it sound easy or to make it easier to swallow. I mean, it is what it is. And if I need my staff to trust me, you know, I'm the leader of the company. They have to know that whatever I say, they can take it to the bank. And I've always been that way, but in the same respect, because I do that with them, they'll do it with me. So if they make a mistake, they're not afraid to call and say, Claire, I really messed up. Let me tell you what I did. I'm not going to yell at them. I don't. I just don't. We're going to talk about what happened, give you some options of how it could have been handled, and then we're going to move on to something else. You made a mistake. Move on. It wasn't fatal. So they need to be honest with me just as I am with them. And everything flows so much better, and then you're not trying to backpedal and scramble to try to, well, that's not really what I, it's just a mess. Just be honest up front. It is what it is. It's no sense in covering it up. Just fix it and move on and go on to the next thing.
You know, I think a major thing is in any company, it doesn't have to be multifamily, but as far as keeping employees engaged is recognition. Why is that important, and how do you do that?
I think that in any company, like you said, in any company, people need to know that they matter. I had somebody text me a couple of weeks ago and say, you know, Claire, when you were here, everybody knew that they mattered, and we're struggling to do that. Can you help us out and give us some ideas? So I did. The whole workforce these days, and especially now where a lot of companies are working from home, they're actually looking to create positions to make sure that the people working from home stay engaged. It doesn't matter how big or small, whatever they did, you need to recognize it. I have little praise cards, and I have little white mailboxes on every manager's desk. And either when I'm talking to them on the phone or when I'm visiting their properties, if I see them doing something good, I'll quick write a little note, stick it in the mailbox, raise the red flag. Or if I have to mail it, I'll put it in an envelope. And the teams, they just love that. And they post their little praise cards up on the bulletin boards in their offices so that everybody can see. And they tend to be more involved in what's going on the property, and they tend to start taking an ownership mentality because they know they're important. Everybody needs to know they're important, and what they do matters. I mean, that's just blanket across the board for any industry. And I don't think people take enough time to write the handwritten birthday cards, which I do, or anniversary cards. It's those little tiny things that really let people know that they matter. And people need to know that.
You know, I want to jump into the talent transformation part of the discussion, because we've talked about recruitment, we've talked about engagement, and now it's transforming to that partner mindset. What are your thoughts about that? What are the important points for someone to understand and put in place?
The biggest lesson that I learned that I can apply to the business world and to what I do is I learned coaching soccer. I won't give you the whole story, but my assistant coach was yelling at my kids on the field, and in the middle of the game, they sat down, and I was like, uh-oh. So I went out there, and I said, what are you guys doing? And they said, why should we continue to try? No matter what we do, it's not good enough. And I thought, you know what? They're right. So I fired my assistant coach, made him go sit in the car. But I apply that today. If people are trying, there's no reason to yell at them and scream at them and belittle them. They're trying. So get in there and help them figure out what to do next. You've got to encourage your teams. You've got to, if they're frustrated, let them call and vent to you. So what? That's what you're there for. Once they get it out, then all right, let's see how we can fix this. They need to know that bottom line, that you're behind them 100%. And you've got to share their ideas. Let them talk to you. Let them say, you know, Claire, I don't agree with this. What if we did it this way? It doesn't mean I'll always do it, but I take it into consideration. I think about it. I may tweak it a little bit, and we'll try it. But again, you've got to let your people know that they are a part of the process, they're a part of the solution, and they're a big part of your company and the company's success. You'd be surprised how successful things will go if you do that. For example, at one job, I had less than 2% employee turnover in 4 years. Wow. And that's just huge. And my properties were succeeding all over the planet because I was stable. They were engaged. They were accountable. They embraced what they were doing. And I think we need more of that, so that, especially now, so that properties can be successful. Turnover does not help anybody.
Yep. It's always important when you're dealing with trying to transform somebody to that partner mindset. If they feel there's a barrier there, then they may never come out of that that shell that they're in. What have you done with that?
I do weekly meetings. I have an open door policy. Every member of all my employees, right down to the part-time groundskeeper, they all have my cell phone. If they have an idea, they know they can call, and I will take the time to stop what I'm doing and listen to them. And that's, I think, what has made my team so successful. We are, like the old saying, there is no I in team. And it's just letting them know you matter. And I think it all boils down to letting the people know that you work with, that they matter, that they're important, and they're a contributor to the success of your company. If they don't feel that, then you're not going to get anything more than, you're not going to get 100% out of them. They're going to do their job and go home. They're not going to go above and beyond and really knock things out of the park. People matter, and that's what's important. That's the crux of all of this. You've got to let them know that they matter.
You know, one of the things that I've seen happen with different companies over the years has been, you develop closer relationships with some of the employees that you may tend to identify with more, who are working for you, and then I've seen people where they kind of get a little bit different treatment because they're more of a favored type person. But that's kind of counterintuitive to what you're talking about, isn't it?
Well, I don't do that. For example, at managers' meetings, you always have the group that goes off and does whatever. Everything that we did for 4 days, we did as a group, right down to dinner, breakfast, lunch, field trips. I even arranged a shopping trip. One of my regionals had a mall problem, so I had dinner in a mall so she could go shopping. But we did everything together. If there were any big decisions that were made, I involved everybody in it. Guys, what do you think about this? I don't do clicks. I think it's counterproductive. You've got to be a team. And all my managers, they'd call each other, and they knew that we were, anybody and anybody would drop what they were doing and help you get whatever you needed help with. They'd help you do it. So I don't do clicks. I don't do drama. We have a company to run. Let's get this done. Let's get these things so we can sit back and have 4 days at a manager's meeting. Call it a retreat. But you are right. It doesn't work.
All right, well, we are going to leave it there for this segment. We're going to be back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters after this short break. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call eConserve today at 713-662-3220 for a free analysis of your property. That's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of talent transformation from an employee to a partner mindset. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me today by phone is longtime multifamily industry veteran and property management consultant Claire Moyers, the owner of ProVisions Property Management Company in Charleston, South Carolina. And by the way, for our listeners and for our supplier partners out there who are listening, we do have a couple of very special and unique Multifamily Matters sponsorship opportunities that have become available. So if you would like to know more about it, please reach out to us through our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Claire, during the break, we were kind of talking, and, you know, to kind of sum up, the thing to keep in mind with this topic of talent transformation from an employee to a partner mindset is that people matter, and you've got to make them understand that they matter, and it has to be real. So I know you probably have come across things in your career where you've found that that wasn't the case. What can you share with our listeners about that?
And you know, and it does happen, and I'm sure that every once in a while, I'm sure I've made the same mistake and you know, not let everybody know that they did matter. It happens, but at least I try to learn from my mistakes. I want to tell you a story because I think it might illustrate this the best. I worked for a company, and they were just barraged. I mean, we had state inspections with a tax credit world. You know, we had one every week and a REAC thrown in there, and it was a nightmare. And it was just like nobody could breathe. It was a mess. And we had a wonderful regional maintenance guy who was running around like I never knew where he was half the time. I couldn't find him. And it's because he was trying to get ready for all these inspections. And I felt like he was just the sense that he was overloaded and overwhelmed. So he had done some funny things on site. So what we did was I took a long 2x4, we spray painted it, and we got little figurines and stuff at Michael's or Hobby Lobby, and I made him a trophy of all his funny mistakes. And it was probably about 2 feet long. And every time he did something, we'd bring the hot glue gun in and we'd glue something else on top of it. And then I had a plaque made and I put it on top because I wanted him to know that I know you're running around. I know this is crazy, but you are appreciated. And he displayed that on top of his desk everywhere. He sent everybody pictures of it, but it may not have been much in the grand scheme, but I realized and I recognized how hard he was working, and I wanted to do something to kind of, one, lighten the load for everybody just a bit because it was very stressful, and just, two, let him know that, hey, even though you did slip on that pretzel and fall in the street and bust your mouth open and bleed all over the place in front of an inspector, I appreciate everything you've done. And those are the things that need to be done. You know, you can't just go through and just ignore and just say, well, you shouldn't have done that. Or, well, I mean, they try. Everybody tries. And find something to do to just let them know that you're watching, you know what they're going through, and try to lighten the load just a little bit. And his trophy, it was actually quite brilliant, actually.
It sounds like it. I want to ask you about one comment that you shared with me. So you can kind of give it a little bit more of an explanation. But you said it's important to be tough, but by doing that without being demanding or belittling. Can you give us an example of what that means?
I sure can. I am tough. I mean, you're talking to me. I am the most easygoing, approachable person you'll probably ever meet. But I have a flip side. I am tough. I want what I want when I want it. Just do your job, and just that's all I ask. So I don't mince words. I'm not ugly about it, but I can get a little bit of a firm tone in my voice. But I don't yell. I don't demean anybody. I don't belittle anybody. I actually had somebody that I worked for years ago when she was calling around. I was an operations manager. She was calling around all the managers, and they said, Claire is the only person who can come down here, tell us we've messed up, and make us want to do it better. She doesn't make us defensive. She works with us. And I'm tough. I want what I want when I want it. But I'm not going to put you down in the process of it. We're going to talk about it. We're going to get it done. And we're going to move on to the next thing. So apparently I have a knack for that.
And what kind of tips can you give to listeners on how to do that? If that doesn't come natural to them, how would you coach them to catch themselves?
The way I go into it is think about when you were a low man on the totem pole and maybe you got written up or maybe you got a counseling statement. How did it make you feel? If it put you on the defensive and you just decided, well, you know what, skip this, I'm out of here, I'm just not going to do it, then that approach is the wrong way. So when I go to do a counseling session or whatever, I call it coming in the back door. You know, hey, we need to talk about this, so what can I do to help you improve your performance? You've got to think, put yourself in their shoes. If you put them on the defensive, you are not going to get the results you want. So work, make it a joint effort. Work with them. Help them figure out how to improve their performance. Don't just throw it at them and say, here, you were bad. That's not going to get you anywhere, and then you're going to end up recruiting for that position, which most people don't have time to do. So just put yourself in their shoes when you go to deliver these. It should be a collaborative effort, not one-sided.
Well, you know, we could certainly talk about this topic for two or three more segments, but I want to kind of transition a little bit and let our listeners know a little bit about you. You obviously have experience at what you're doing and a lot of background and expertise in this topic. So tell our listeners a little bit about you, your background, how you got in the industry, and also then I want to talk to you about what you're doing now.
I actually got in this industry, which I think like most people do, by accident. I was hired to work at Summit Properties, and I was actually Terry Danner's assistant. So I absolutely adore Terry, but I started as an office manager and just, you know, Terry was a great mentor and a great teacher. So was Jerry Blonder, Val Hammond, you know, all the people in Atlanta that I've worked with. And they took the time to teach me things and to help me learn. And I just kind of moved up. I'm operationally oriented. It took me a while, but I finally got my CPM in January of this year. You know, life gets in the way, but I did finally get it. And I still can't believe that I have that on my wall, but I do. And it's well worth the training. But I think the property management industry is very dynamic. No 2 days are ever the same. And that's one of the things I like. And you're always learning. And I love to learn. So that's why I've stuck it out. Plus, I got out of it for a little bit. I didn't understand the outside world. So I came back.
Outside world, that's fun.
Well, it is an outside world.
It is. When you've been in this industry for a long time, it is. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing now, about ProVisions and the consulting work that you do, and also if somebody wanted to reach out to you to engage you in some form or fashion, how could they do that?
Sure. I met some guys a couple of years ago, and I dog and ponied. I sold them some deals for an owner that I was working for, and they called and asked, hey, we want to start our own management company. Do you want to run it? And I was like, okay. Well, we did a good job. I made them a lot of money, and they got out of multifamily, and they're now into land preservation and renewable energy, and, you know, they're really wildly successful. So I got hired to clean up a company, and, you know, great group of people, absolutely great group of people. But it was just a little bit of an odd fit. So I thought, you know what, when we sold all those deals, I watched, and I'm not saying anything bad about anybody, but they were new investors into multifamily, and they went with what I call the big box management companies, and they just got lost in the shuffle. It's nobody's fault. Nobody did anything wrong. It just happens. And I thought, you know, I took those properties and I made them beautiful, and now they're not. And I thought, with all the people and the getting into multifamily, why not help them make some really good informed decisions in whether it's due diligence and buying assets or just looking at the things. I have a knack for seeing things other people don't see on financial statements or when you walk the properties and stuff. So I thought, you know what? I'm good at what I do. I'm very passionate about what I do. So I want to offer that to the new investors into the multifamily arena. And of course, you know, I started Provisions in February, and then COVID hit. So that's kind of, everything's kind of stalled, but I'm here to help others be successful, because that's what I'm passionate about, is watching others get successful.
If someone wanted to reach out to you and get in touch with you, how can they do that?
You can. I have a website online. It's provisionspmconline.com, or you can reach me at 864-626-0899. And my phone is on 24 hours a day.
Well, thanks so much, Claire. It's a great topic, and you obviously have the knowledge and expertise to share with our listeners. And we do want to have you back again for another topic, but we're going to have to close it out here for this episode. We will be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.